In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Most dear faithful, as usual, a question for us to ponder. What does the word epiphany enkindle in your mind? For many, the word epiphany produces a mental picture. A mental picture very beautiful and clear of the Magi bringing gifts to the newborn king. And we may even expand the symbolism into the awareness of Jesus as the Christ being made manifest to all the Gentiles. But even at this point, the experience is still not much more than an intellectual exercise, happening in the third person, something we observe happening or happened to other people a long time ago. But as we've talked about so many times, the Christian journey, the way of our faith in Jesus Christ, can't be, should not be a third-person experience. Because real intimacy with Jesus requires full engagement, engagement of our whole being, mind, body, and spirit. We must be truly in the moment if we hope to possess and profess a faith that becomes part of our nature versus something that's external or superficial or even fleeting. The Holy Catholic Church, we know that we love, is the vehicle that our Lord has chosen to transmit and preserve the fullness of faith for all time. The sacraments, seasons, celebrations are all meant to engage the faithful in a manner that invites all of us into a first person, truly intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so on this day, Epiphany in our mind, therefore, can't be just a nice story. It has to be more than that. We know that the origin of the word epiphany comes from a Greek root that means reveal, with an expanded definition of a usually sudden manifestation or perception of the essential nature or meaning of something. What that then means is an epiphany is a realization of the essence of something. It reveals what a thing absolutely is. Now, the Magi, in this story of an epiphany, the Magi discovered the object of their quest. We hear it in Scripture. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. But again, this epiphany is only a nice story that happened to other people unless the object of their attention also becomes essential to us as well. We must realize the essence of the object, who this baby really absolutely is. Seeing Jesus in the manger requires a personal response to what has been revealed. If we see a baby and perceive it merely as such, this is not true epiphany. We have not realized the essence of the object of our attention. The true epiphany occurs when we see the baby in the crib and we respond, "My Lord and my God." We know intuitively that there's nothing superfluous in the whole of our Catholic faith. Everything is essential. And we know that there are multiple opportunities for us to experience epiphany. Epiphany, revelation, revealing, even in our daily journey, our journey particularly to the crib, our journey to the cross, and everywhere in between has but one object, and it's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose true essence must be realized in our very being, in every manifestation of his divinity. Therefore, epiphany cannot be a moment, but it is actually a divine process by which God reveals himself to us and invites us into intimacy with him so that we become more like him. Epiphany is the realization of the essence of something, the whatness of something, as proposed by Aristotle and later by St. Thomas Aquinas. What is it? In the story of the Magi, the Gentile kings not only discovered the object of their quest, but they also understood the essential nature of what they saw, what was revealed to them, the who and the what of the Christ child. The sight of Jesus in the manger engendered a sudden, very personal response, more than just the sight of a baby, but a revelation of something greater, a divine essence that compelled worship. This is a true epiphany, the recognition of God, God in the flesh. The holy drama of this scene is indeed powerful, but doesn't it seem a bit incomplete? Because biblical history doesn't tell us much about what happened to the Magi after they left the Lord. We hear in Scripture, then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Well, is that just geography? No. So what became of them? Was Epiphany for them a mere moment? Or did its effects endure? Did they last? We cannot know fully the lives of the men traditionally known as Caspar and Melchior and Balthazar after their encounter with the infant Christ. But we might use our sense of the faith, our sense as first-person Christians, to propose that they arrived on the scene as Gentile pagans, but departed from the presence of the Holy Family as truly wise men on a new path of life, to their own country by another way, a new way, as Christ followers. St. Jerome, St. John Chrysostom, St. Thomas Aquinas, all in their own way speak of, in some fashion, about the almost certain conversion of the Magi, each of them becoming zealous preachers of Christ. Why? Why would we imagine that that was necessary? Well, because Epiphany, with no lasting consequences, makes no sense. If one truly has a profound moment of insight into the essential nature or meaning of something, then doesn't it follow that one might rightly expect to gain some lasting benefit from that revelation, from that insight? I mean, even just something, just virtues, such as knowledge and understanding and wisdom, fear of the Lord, might very well be augmented. Overall, a process of ongoing conversion, conversion of life. Conversion is not instantaneous for us. Conversion is a process over a lifetime. It's that conversion that may be the principal benefit and the sign of true faith centered on Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, for all who are wise. Epiphany without conversion, without some interior movement toward greater intimacy with the divine presence, is a prime example of a third-person, purely observational Christian experience. Ongoing conversion is putting our Christian potential into action. Epiphany is no longer something happening elsewhere, but it's occurring right here, right now. It's moving our hearts, our minds, our souls, the fullness of our very being. Epiphany is seeing beyond what our eyes tell us is there. If we can see God in a baby lying in a manger, then we can see God in the Eucharist as well. Our eyes see a baby, but our faith sees the Christ, the Son of God. Our eyes see bread, but our faith sees the real presence of Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And then we too, falling down before him in adoration, we declare, "My Lord and my God." And in the words of our beloved Cardinal Burke, like the three wise men, we have been led by Christ, the light, to the altar of his sacrifice, upon which he makes sacramentally present the gift of his body, blood, soul, and divinity as the heavenly bread to sustain us on our life pilgrimage to our eternal home with him. As Christ manifests himself to us here as the bread of life, his true body, blood, soul, and divinity, so may we faithfully, generously, and purely manifest him alive in us for the salvation of all men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.